I'm on Facebook, the Gram, I'm Microsoft Word. If anyone want to type up a doc and send it to me, that'd be great. I don't have an address, I sleep in my car. Yeah, if you're into that, please, thank you so much. You guys have been the fucking best crowd ever. Thank you so much. Give yourselves a round of applause, and also give your headliner, Dave O'Neill, a round of applause.
All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here on my podcast where I drive home with a comedian. And today I've got the fabulous Nick Capper in the car.
Yay, you've got to put your seatbelt on there, Dave.
Yeah, I know, it's true. I don't want to die on the road with you. That'd be terrible.
Yeah.
And where have we done, Nick? We've just done...
Bendigo.
Bendigo.
At the Gold Mines Hotel.
Which I've got to say is like in the outskirts of Bendigo.
Yeah, it's a really cool little trendy pub.
I thought you were leading me somewhere to stab me and steal my car. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I like it. I like the V-dub station wagon. I thought, hey, I want as many chicks as Dave.
Yeah,
so I'm
going
to kill him and steal his car.
I've had the same woman for 26 years. So it's all going great. You want that woman and those kids.
I want that woman and those kids, yes.
You were great tonight.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks.
You were emceeing.
I was saying to you before that I've only just started doing kind of fundraiser gigs and footy clubs, and as Pete Jones, one of our good friends, put it,
funny guy,
each
very bald for a very young man though.
Yeah,
he does jokes about that.
He's
nasty.
He looks way 40. Beyond his age.
Yeah, poor guy.
he's funny though. He's so funny, and he summed it up good when you do a lot of fundraisers and footy club gigs or whatever, because you never know where they're going to be. They're in like a community hall, and you never know what the setup's going to be or anything.
Yeah.
And he said, each gig is a whole new anxiety.
So, do you know what? It's true. Each gig is a new anxiety. I'm just wondering where to go. Do you know where to go? Or?
I should say it here.
Here we go.
Oh, here
laughing.
We go. Ooh. Morong, Bridgewater. No.
St. Arden and Mildura.
I think we better go back into town.
I think we better go, mate. Yeah, it's true, but tonight was like a... just doing a U-turn, everyone. Tonight was a pub run by some Bendigo comics.
Yeah. So it was... When you go to these gigs, you're like, oh, you just relax. You can just relax
good,
a little bit.
It was sort of in like a beer garden that's been covered over.
Yeah. It was so good. And you thought the owner of the pub was there, and he just kept nodding to everything.
Yeah, Pete, or Keith as his name was,
turned out to be the comic's dad.
Yeah, he did look like a publican though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He had a publican face.
Oh, definitely. They have a certain look, those guys.
Yeah, my brother and I used to, because I used to work in bars in England, and so did my brother, and, you know, you always get the same kind of bloke managing a pub, you know, like a manager, you know.
Yes.
He's always got a bit of a gut. Either got a wife and kids, or he's with one of the barmaids.
Yep.
And every night, puts the till away, like counts a till, has a cigarette, you know, has a beer by himself.
Yeah.
Those kind of guys.
They're normally, they're often alcoholics though, aren't they?
Yeah, they're often, yeah.
Well, they don't drink at all.
Yeah, they're like the bloody, what's his name, don't get high on your own supply. Who's that guy? Scarface.
Oh, is this?
Turns out he did. He got really high in his own supply.
Yeah,
he had a
bad example. Now we're back at the pub.
Yeah, no, we keep going. Keep going past this pub, I think. If we go...
That's the pub we just did a gig
at. Yeah. But if we keep going past here...
Oh.
I think that takes you into the city centre.
Okay. The city of Bendigo.
Yeah, the city of Bendigo. They took the Marilyn Monroe statue away last time I was here.
There's too much upskirting going on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It is Bendigo.
But it was a good gig, man. I liked it. It was so relaxing.
Your emceeing was really good. I mean, I don't think I've seen you MC before.
I used to MC a lot in Sydney, but then I think, I don't know, I went through a bit of a shit phase. You know when you think you're good, but you're not that good? You know?
Yeah.
When I MC'd, I always did too long. And you know what I mean? I always thought... It's a bit of a job, an MC. It's not really.
It is, and people go to you. Oh, you are great. How long have you been introducing comics for? Well, someone said to me once.
Yeah.
Oh, this classic one. You're the MC. They'll go. You were great. You were awesome. They look at you and they go, safe trip home.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah.
Man, Bendigo is big.
Yeah.
A big suburban sprawl.
The pub was closed. I was nearly tempted.
Yeah, so what? The pub we did the gig at has closed this month, but they opened it just for tonight.
Yeah, so they said they just closed for a month because it's too cold. I thought it'd be pretty cold here.
Well, it's not as cold as Ballarat, though. It's cold, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, right.
But how was it? That audience was quite mixed, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really mixed. You had a lot of, you know, old people, you had young people. It was going off. Some guy yelled out a really good heckle.
Oh, that
like,
was funny.
It was so good. There was this comic on stage, nice guy. He was doing a bit about a man being a crocodile.
Quite a long bit, yeah.
And then this bloke just walks in and goes, "What is happening?"
And it was perfect because everyone was quiet. Even the comic was quiet at that stage. What is happening? Best line of the night.
Man, I love those country heckles. I was just saying on stage before, I was like, you know, because in jokes, sometimes you downplay things, you know, or whatever. And I said, in Ringwood, the suburb, I said, you know, I'm not the best looking guy. And then this bloke heckled, "Chin up." Oh, you just turn right.
Turn right, yeah.
That was just the best heckle. Like, chin up, mate. Don't get down on yourself.
Yeah. Country. Well, you're a country guy. I was in Sale once, where everyone's a relation to Will Anderson in Sale. Yeah. And the guy goes, Sale Football Club, "You got to hang shit on Mafra, all right? They've beat us in the grand final 3 years in a row, all right? Mafra's, that's your go-to, all right?
Yeah.
If your gig starts to lull, go back to Mafra."
Yeah.
And so I get on, I'm like, "What Mafra, what a shithole." And they're all cheering, and I go, "What has Mafra got that you haven't got?" And there was just a lull, and you hear this guy's voice go, "Couple of flags."
A couple of flags.
The greatest line. Couple of flags. A few trophies.
Oh, man, that's the best.
Mafra. So where did you grow up in the country? Let's get the Nick Capper story. But people may know you from the Dum Dum Club podcast. You do some Triple R work in Melbourne on the community station, which I used to appear on.
Oh, it's great. I love that. I love Triple R. I love music.
When we first met, we started talking about, you know what?
Yeah.
Do you remember the first gig where I saw you at? This was a legend.
Oh, man. This is legendary. Big Huey's restaurant.
Big Huey's Diner. Big Huey's now, we're talking about Ian Hewitson from Healthy, Wealthy and Wise. And it was like doing a gig in Happy Days, wasn't it? A Big L shop. Big L's Diner.
Oh, man. It was so fun. The food with his wife...
She was lovely.
She was so nice.
But he was the opposite.
He didn't
even speak to us.
He did not like Huey. My comedy at all.
He was literally in the kitchen cooking. There weren't that many people there. It was like the people were taken hostage that were there. They've come in for a cheap, like, must have been half price hamburgers.
Yeah.
And they've gone, "Comedy's going to start in a minute. Oh, we're leaving." No. And they just got held there. And they were sitting in booths. And I was emceeing, and you were the support act, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Huey would not even look at us.
Oh, man, yeah. He was up the back with his arms folded. The best thing you said was, you said, "Oh, you know those TV chefs, they've usually got a chain of restaurants that are still on TV. You're in the fucking kitchen, Huey."
That's right.
"What are you doing cooking at a restaurant? Surely you go on TV to not cook at a restaurant."
Yeah, anymore. Surely you're like George Calambaris. You underpay people in thousands of your restaurants, mate. But yeah, he was actually cooking. And I've got to say, did you have the food?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh,
I forget what I had.
A milkshake, and I had sweets.
Oh, man, I'd kill
anyway,
for a milkshake.
That was the first time I saw you, and I thought you were hilarious. Because I'd heard about you, but I'd never seen you.
Yeah, well, the first time I saw you, I think I told you this before, was at a Republic Bar.
That used to be a good gig in Melbourne, run by Steele Saunders, yes.
Yeah, and one time Steele wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they said that a lot of fans of his podcast go, the Green Guide Letters, which is a great podcast.
Yes.
And they said, the crowd sometimes get a bit funny when Steele's not there.
Yeah, when they don't
and
turn
it's
up.
Like, it's like I'm babysitting or something like that. You know, that's what the guy was running and say. Anyway, it was the toughest night ever. I think everyone died except for you.
I just came on at the end. I hadn't been there for the whole... I just turned up 5 minutes before I was due on. Yeah.
And you killed it. I was like, oh, bloody hell. This bloke's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that O'Neill hack, he's not bad.
I think I think it's weird when you've been doing comedy for a while. What impresses you is guys that go do the roller coaster thing where they take the crowd right down, then bring it back up.
You know
what I mean? Like bring it revive from death.
Yeah.
That's a good story. But then probably the best ones are on the bad nights. Who killed on a bad night?
Oh, it's true. It's true. Yeah. You know, often it's good not to be around when you see everyone else die, though. You just walk in and go, well, I didn't know it was a bad gig. I did this gig once. I think it was at the Hallam Hotel. Yeah. And it was for Triple M. And they had all these comics that were appearing on Triple M at that time. So the Crud Boys hosted it, which was Julian Chiller and Tony Moclair. And there was, Lawrence Mooney might have been on. But Husey was like massive. He still is massive. But he was meant to be on, but he wasn't on.
So
I turned up and did really well. And then they all assumed Husey was going to be on. But then they just said, Julian and Tony went, oh no, Husey's not here. And there was like nearly a riot. And the guy, the owner of the pub, had to go through the crowd with three Crown Lagers, handing him out. And I'm, have a crownie. He's not here. Have a crownie. And then you just hear the crowd subdue.
Oh, just, man. Yeah. We were talking about this the other day. How, before craft beer and stuff, how awesome was Crownies?
Mate, Crownies was was like your end year drink, or when you go to someone would win something, like at a footy club, and they'd break out Crownie for you, mate. Crownie for you. Yeah,
all right. I'm going to start bringing them back.
Oh, I bought some the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to go around a mate's house. I bought two Crownies. I don't drink too much, but and it's also the official Australian cricket team beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the, I think till recently they dropped it, but they were always drinking Crownies in their rooms.
Oh.
I'm not even a cricket fan, but I know they are.
And what? Because that's the good VB.
People always say, which is apparently not true,
it's
the good stuff off the top of the beer vat.
All right. Okay. Bloody hell.
So what did you... So you grew up, and I've been... You grew up near Moree.
Yeah, so I grew up in a town called Boomai.
How far is that from Moree?
About an hour. Yeah, it's on the New South Wales-Queensland border.
Yeah.
It's probably about 600 k's west inland.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it's it was middle of nowhere town. Probably about 60 people in the town, I'd say, 60 to 100.
And your dad, he was a cotton farmer, was he?
Yeah, he managed like a big cotton farm.
It's like an American occupation. It's like, someone would do in the Deep South.
It was big at the time. Like, it's still...
Did you have slaves?
Yeah,
slaves.
Yeah, had so many slaves.
You and your brother.
Yeah, just beating slaves every day.
Did he own the farm or?
No, he just ran it. So it was the biggest privately owned cotton farm in the Southern Hemisphere. So it was 40,000 acres. So
that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it was huge. So about 12,000 acres of it was planted cotton. And my dad basically, he managed it from its inception to its. You know, there's 40 paddocks or something like that.
And how long did you do? Is he still doing it? He's not doing it anymore.
No, he's a pecan nut farmer now.
He's a what?
Pecan nuts.
Pecan nuts?
Yeah. Loves it.
Is that less intensive than cotton?
Yeah, cotton is like your mistress.
Is it like rice? Is it a lot of labour? Rice is very labour intensive, isn't it?
Yeah, during the summer, as soon as the cotton gets hot, it just throws the fruit off. It just drops the cotton bolls.
I love it how you call it the fruit.
Yeah, we call it the fruit, yeah.
When it's not actually a fruit.
Yeah. It looks like fruit.
Oh, does it?
Before it turns into cotton.
I've only ever seen it as a jumper that I'm wearing now, so. Yeah.
It's a bulb.
That's probably wool, actually.
Call it a bulb.
You call it a bulb?
Yeah, it's a bulb. And,
Because you went to a rural boarding school, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to Farrah in Tamworth, yeah.
And that's a government boarding school, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really weird. It was like the first boarding school I'd ever heard of that's just not academically aimed. Everyone used to get the worst grades.
So was that a farm boarding school?
Yeah, so it had a farm there, yeah. So I think, each year you had a different job on the farm. I remember year 9 we had dairy. So for four times a year you'd have to wake up at 4 in the morning for a week and then go straight to the dairy after school. And it was awful, awful.
I'm amazed how many farmers' kids are in comedy. There's quite a few.
Yeah.
Tom Gleason's from around there.
Yeah.
He's from near there. He's from Gunnedah, isn't he?
Yeah. I never knew that. I never knew that Gleason... I've got a
Limo was a farmer's kid. I've met his parents.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He's from near Mildura on the South Australian border there, near Renmark.
Yeah, well, Fleety went to Yanko, which is the...
Oh, yeah, to Geelong Grammar.
I think that was...
Another successful graduate of Geelong Grammar. Des Dowling's from a farm.
Yeah, yeah.
There's quite a few.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. I think
Fiona O'Loughlin.
Dave Quirk.
Quirky's from a farm.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's,
you must get bored on a farm, do you? Is it boring or not?
Yeah, I think it's good for your imagination. I wasn't a real typical farm kid. I liked...
It's hard to believe.
Farming. I liked playing with action figures and all that kind of stuff. I liked drawing and...
You're creative.
Like that. Yeah, I was...
Did your dad expect you to go into the farming life, or...?
He thought I was going to, yeah, because he could see that I was a bit crazy.
What about your brother?
My brother and I, we both tried farming, and we loved it that it was so unpredictable. You just never know what was going to happen. Something might explode, or...
Oh, farmers are, like, often... The ones that are successful are often very... what's the word? Not talented, but they're very skilled, because they've got a... They've got to work with the weather, the world markets.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They've got to fix stuff.
A lot of farmers are actually very, very bright.
Yeah, I've done gigs for farmers, and they're great.
The best farmers, like, all the stereotypes are kind of are wrong, you know, because, you know, the ones that sit in the pub after work or whatever, have beer on the veranda, they're just the workers.
Did your dad go to the pub, or...?
No, he never really went to the pub. He was born in Africa. So his mum was from Fremantle in WA.
Yeah, right.
And she went on a round the world trip. She was in the newspaper. That's how crazy it was for two girls. Her and a friend went on a round the world trip.
At what age?
I think around in the 20s or something.
Yeah, right.
She was going to marry this fighter pilot. And then her mum said, "Don't marry a fighter pilot, he'll die."
Fair
and
point.
Then, fair enough, he died. Oh.
Well, fighter pilots, not a lot of them lived, I'd reckon.
Yeah. Apparently, if you survived one dogfight, were promoted, because, like, you would just die.
Yeah, but then they'd send you out for more.
Yeah, so it was just lucky dip, really.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's just insane, but we shouldn't laugh about it.
Oh, no, it's okay. My dad fixed helicopters in the Vietnam War.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's so funny when you meet... I mean, someone in Sydney worked at the ABC, and they said, "Oh, your dad might know. My dad was a helicopter pilot in the Vietnam War, Frank." Yeah. Frank so-and-so. And I said, "Look, there are a lot of pilots in the Vietnam War." I go to Dad, "You know this guy, Frank?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, Cranky Frankie." He was famous. He flew off. He was a cranky bugger. He flew off one time with the equivalent of the petrol Bowser in the helicopter, and flew off in the air with the Bowser hanging out. Oh, yeah, Cranky Frankie. He worked for the 7 News and got sacked for going too close to the buildings. So it's funny. They know each other.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Frankie.
Yeah, so, yeah, my dad, he didn't grow up... He is the most Australian man you've ever met, but it's only because when he moved out to... His dad was from England.
Yeah,
He lived in Africa for a bit, and he farmed there. And then he went to England. He didn't like England, then he moved back out to Australia.
Good on you.
And then the whole family followed him. And he just... He told me once, actually, this is pretty funny for comedy fans out there. A couple of Christmas... podcast fans might have heard this.
It doesn't matter.
My dad told me this story, how he worked on a cattle station with another bloke who used to get a bit mouthy when he was drunk. Anyway, my dad walloped him.
Right.
Gave him a black eye, right?
Ooh.
And they rocked up to work the next morning. And the boss kind of looked at the bloke's black eye, and he smiled because he knew that bloke was going to get walloped sooner or later.
Yeah, right.
And they all patted my dad on the back. They said, "Oh, yeah, that'll teach you." Yeah. Anyway, no joke. This is a month. My dad, he's a strong, silent character.
Yeah.
You get a story out of him, it's
a miracle.
It's a miracle. Yeah. Yeah. So, him and Mum are a big fan of Mooney.
Lawrence Mooney.
Yeah, seen him on TV. Anyway, about a month later, I was at Perth Fringe Festival, and Mooney was out drinking with us.
Unusual.
And yeah, he was being Mooney.
Moon man.
He wanted a party, and so I went and met a friend, and then he was playing his slap game.
Oh yeah, where he
slaps you. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a weird. Yeah, so he slaps you, and then seems to get the reaction. Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't know the game, I rocked into the party, like, and everybody said, "Oh, hey, you got to slap Kappa, right?" Anyway,
he's got a slappable face.
He slaps me, and then I was pretty drunk, and I'd taken some illicit substances, and then just that country reaction in me.
Yeah.
I didn't even thought process it. I just gave him a straight left.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard this story. I didn't know it was you.
Yeah, yeah. Gave him a huge black eye. And he, of course, anyone else would have reacted. So Moody loved it.
Yeah.
He was laughing. He thought he had a beer on his eye. He thought it was a, and he had to start radio the next morning.
Oh, God.
So I took a, he sent me the photo and it was a shiner.
Yeah.
And then I sent it to my dad and I said, "Guess who got mouthy on the piss?" Yeah, you couldn't believe it. Yeah, it was funny.
Don't fuck with Nick Kappa when you're on the piss.
Yeah, yeah.
That great old joke. And so, but how did you get into comedy though? From a farm to comedy? That's just...
Oh, it's weird. I was thinking about this today, man, because I think you... I don't know if you would have done this, but I feel like you would have done this. When we...
Worked on a cotton farm? No. Yeah,
when I worked on the cotton farm, I worked there for a few years. I think some... Well, I was watching this documentary on Metallica, and they said every band starts out as a cover band.
It's true.
And so, well, you know, they started out covering Thin Lizzy and yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so I think... I started out as a bit of a cover comedian.
Yeah, that's like all of us do that, though. You like the styles of the people that got you into comedy.
Because
yeah.
I didn't know anything about stand-up comedy. I think I'd seen one Carl Barron DVD.
Right.
And then, but we jokes were a big thing. When you're on night shift, there wasn't much to do. You'd check the fields, where, and then everyone would be driving around on this big farm, and you'd put all the utes together, and then you'd tell jokes. You know, from Ralph magazines or
FHM. Oh, yeah, right, yeah, right.
You know, and I always, you know, started adding my own flavours to the...
Yeah, yeah, a few lines here and there.
Yeah, I think that was my greatest... can I tell you my favourite one?
Yeah,
I've never told anyone this one
before. I love it.
But I love it. This one used to always bring the house down. So there was a guy who was going to heaven, and St. Peter goes, "Okay, look, heaven's filling up. We're going to have to go on the death, like the worst death, to let you in." Anyway, this bloke goes, okay, this is what happened. I thought my wife was cheating. I finished work early, got the elevator up to my third floor apartment, walk out, the bedroom's all messy, you know, she's there naked, and I'm looking for him, and then I find him, bloody hanging off the balcony, and he was begging for his life. So I got a hammer and I hit his fingers. Ooh. And then he let go, fell three stories into a bush and survived.
What?
So I was so angry, I picked up the fridge and I threw it off the balcony and killed him. Anyway, the St. Peter goes, "Oh, that's a pretty bad death. You can go in, mate." And he goes, "All right." This next guy comes along. He goes, "What happened to you?" And he goes, "Well, I was watering some plants on my five-story apartment balcony, and I tripped,
right,
and I fell over, and then thought, oh, bloody hell, I'm dead here for sure. Then grab on to the balcony below me, miraculously, and then this fucking psycho comes out and starts hitting my fingers with a hammer."
Yeah, right.
"And then I let go, I survive, I fall in a bush, and then this bloody fridge lands on me."
Right, yeah.
And then Sir Peter goes, "Oh, yeah, you can go in, mate, that's pretty crazy." And then the third guy rocks up, and he goes, "So what happened to you?" And he goes, "Well, you wouldn't believe it, I was naked in this fridge."
Yeah, classic.
I love that one, because I used to sit around and thought, who writes jokes? Like, that's what I used to think of.
Who writes the jokes?
Writes the jokes? Because I didn't know about comedy or anything. So, yeah, man. No, and then I always wanted to play music. I couldn't play an instrument at all.
No.
But I always wanted to be in a band. That was my big thing.
Yeah, same
Love
here.
Love bands.
Same here.
And then I...
Did you form a band or...?
No, I...
Probably hard in the country.
I was overseas and I was working at this pub. And I had to share a room with a... a guy from Hungary.
Oh,
and
right.
He that was kind of when YouTube was coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And he just watched stand-up on YouTube all day. And I loved Dave Chappelle, and I loved the Mighty Boosh.
Oh, Mighty Boosh are funny, yeah.
And the stand-up they did on the Mighty Boosh was excellent.
Yeah, yeah, and a bit out there.
Yeah.
Noel and
so I was like, oh, Julian. That's awesome. So when I got back to Sydney, I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. And I was just working a job and stuff. And then I used to go and watch my mate play open mics. And then he says, oh, you should do... Why don't you try comedy?
Yeah, right.
He was a big comedy fan. And he said, oh, okay. I said, oh, yeah, I've thought about it, you know. I saw one open mic gig years ago in Brisbane.
Yeah, right. And so you got up.
And then he said, if it goes bad, you know, you can... Don't do it again. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. He goes, if it goes good, you do another one. So the first one went good.
Yeah.
And then someone invited me to another one, Ray Badron. He said, oh,
very
you want to
come
guy, to
another
yeah,
one?
Funny
guy, yeah,
yeah. So I did that one. And then the third one I invited everybody to, all my friends.
Oh,
bombed so
oh,
hard.
Oh, no.
Man, some people still don't talk to me. That was 9 years ago.
Oh, God. I did a gig at a uni where my mum was working at a lunchtime in Lillida. Oh, it was awful. Like, lunchtime uni gigs are bad enough, but to have your mum and her friends from work sitting there. Mum said afterwards, have you thought about going back into teaching? Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app, and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. Also, thanks to CoinJar. Set up a CoinJar account to buy and sell Bitcoin. It's really, really easy. No, trust me, it is. Just go to nearly.com.au/thedebrief to get a bonus when you set up your account. And Homie, they're a Melbourne-based social enterprise creating pathways out of homelessness. Do you know at the moment there's about 100,000 Australians live without a permanent address, and of those, 20,000 people sleep on the streets or in a makeshift shelter. Why not change this? Come on. Go to www.homie.com.au. Okay, back to the program.
Gotta eat some chips.
What chips do you like?
Oh, man. I like
French fries. They're awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I'm into French fries. I'm a big corn chip fan. Probably the biggest.
Really?
Corn chip fan. Yeah,
what's,
yeah.
What's the difference between tasty cheese and nacho cheese?
I think tasty Dude. Cheese is more tomato-y.
Ah, that's
yeah,
it.
It's like a redder cheese.
Yeah, it's a redder pack. What's tangy salsa? I've never seen that before.
I don't know. It looks good.
I remember when corn chips came in.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
9.84 they came in.
Oh, man, that was so awesome.
Big day.
It was huge. And when you started getting different flavours, it was, you know, it just changed the world. Now there's so many different flavours. Honey soy chicken.
They're good.
Oh, man. Remember you used to get what did you
say? I used to have Twisties as cheese and chicken.
Yeah.
Now they've got new flavors, they've got bacon, they've got everything.
I remember you used to only get original salt and vinegar and chicken.
That's right. Sandboy.
And then when sour cream and chives came in, that was like craft beer. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was craft that was beer. Like, light and tangy.
Yeah.
Which was just tomato sauce and barbecue. Man, could write a thesis on chips.
Did Sandboy disappear for a while?
They
and
did,
then...
and they came back.
Oh, man.
Popular
they're great.
Man.
The pink Sandboys, when I was young, couldn't handle the salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
But now I can.
You know what's also good? Cheezels. I had some last night.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know why I'm fat. Anyway, let's get something. Got an ice cream?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just that, thanks.
Cheers. We've got sausage rolls for $2 for every purchase.
No, no, thank you.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You're positive?
I'm positive. You're just saying that because I'm fat, aren't you? Happens to me all the time, being fat. That's right. How much is that?
$12.20, please.
All right. Thanks, mate.
Thanks.
We're back here on the debrief and we've just been into the service station. And you got a...
I got a connoisseur.
Would you like a... Do you notice the guy tried to upsell me a sausage roll?
Yeah.
Just because I'm fat. Mate, that's the problem with being fat. Is that, seriously, you go to parties, or even gigs, you'll have a bit of cake, won't you, mate? Come on, fatty, get into it.
Yeah.
Other people made me fat, is what I'm trying to say.
My mum does that. She goes, oh, you put on a bit of weight, Nick. Have some more ice cream.
Yeah.
It sticks in my face.
Yeah, I know. You're not that fat. You're not fat at all. You're not pushing it at all.
Yeah, my parents are like, you're always fat to your parents.
Yeah, true. True.
Even, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, his dad probably said, oh, you're looking a bit fat.
Looking a bit fat, Arnie. What? Arnie Schwarzenegger. So, yeah, we've just been to the service station. We're driving out. We've got about another hour and a half probably to go to Melbourne from Bendigo. From the Bendigo. So I've actually got some debriefing questions for you that I got off the internet.
Okay.
Because the podcast is called The Debrief. Thought I'd better formalise it. What went well and why? Question number one. Of your gig.
The gig, I think the stuff that went well was mostly rude stuff.
You reckon rude stuff?
I reckon anything briefly rude, they were in. You know?
They were up for it.
Yeah.
And so what didn't go well and why?
I don't know what.
Maybe finish your mouthful.
Why?
Finish your mouthful of what flavour is it?
Butterscotch and something.
Oh.
Some weird flavour.
They have weird flavours.
What didn't go well? It was a bloody warm crowd.
Yeah, I watched all of you, and I've got to say, all of it went well.
Probably a little bit of. I think once you got a big laugh.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a thing in comedy as well. Once you got a big laugh, just go. Because sometimes I throw a little tagline after a big laugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
Nah.
You had us with that one, mate.
Yeah. Get them, yeah.
What are you doing?
But I think that was just cockiness. Because you're like, once you get a warm crowd, comedians are idiots. Once we get a hot crowd, sometimes you're more likely to die when there's a warm crowd. Because you're just so overconfident.
Oh, yeah. Question number three, was there a difference between what happened and what you expected to happen? Is that how you expected it to go?
I expected it to go good. I didn't expect it to go that good. I was like, that was one of those gigs where we could have stayed up there for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, if they were paying some monumental, money, they still paid pretty good. But, if they were paying a large amount, I would have just stayed up there.
I thought it was going to be rowdier because you've done it before and you said, there was quite a few rowdy blokes because pubs. And it kind of was sort of in a covered beer garden, wasn't it?
I think the rowdiness, because you and I are experienced with pretty rowdy places, well, you more than me, you can stamp it out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because as we were talking on the way up here at footy clubs and things, there's always about 10 cool dudes up the back.
Yeah, the young guys they don't care about the comedy.
Yeah. Once you're kind of used to those audiences, you can have three or four blokes talking up the back and they stamp it out pretty quick.
Question number four. Were there any organisational constraints that prevented you from doing your job?
Organisational constraints? No, the guys were awesome. They're a bunch of young guys who run it. And they do these little touches, which are just great. Because the kitchen wasn't open, because the pub.
Yeah.
So they ordered us pizzas.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a nice gesture.
I love that. And guys don't think of that much.
No.
You know what I mean? People don't think of that who run gigs.
No.
They don't think of those little touches that just go, I like this.
Exactly.
I don't know, there's this thing in comedy, I think you operate a bit the same, it's the attitude of the gig. If it's the right person, I'll do it for free,
That's exactly right, and if the money's not that important, if it's a good gig, and the people are there for comedy, you'll do it, but if it's a badly run gig and well paid, it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
And different, I do any crowd, I don't care, but I got offered a gig for people that run pharmacies, and I've done them before.
Yeah.
Man, they are hard work. I've done all sorts of crowds.
Yeah.
Like, any industry, I've done nearly all. Well, I've done a lot of the blue-collar ones, like power, water, gas, trucks, tractors, anything that moves or...
It's cool, man, because you're like the king of general knowledge. I'm pretty sure I could take you to most social situations. And if someone's got a career or something like that, or a place he's lived, you've been there.
I do love general knowledge. Hit me with a career and I'll see if I know anything. Hit me with a job.
Okay, so let's say, what about building yachts or boats or anything to do with...
Boats?
Yeah, boats. Ooh.
Oh, I don't...
A chink in
you know
his,
what? I would ask him about those guys that you see in the suburbs. Yeah. There's some of the country towns that have a boat in their backyard, they're building, you know, guys?
Yeah.
I remember doing a gig in Karratha or somewhere like that, or Port Hedland. There was a guy with one of them in his backyard in Karratha, like...
Yeah.
Are you ever going to finish that?
Yeah.
I love those guys.
Those guys are crazy. I remember I was walking through to Nilba Bay where my grandma used to live up near Newcastle. And, there was one of those guys half building his house... And then he still had one of those boats in the garage. I was like, mate, get the house done first.
The house done.
And then the boat.
I don't know that much about boat building, but I would be fascinated to talk to a boat builder. I'd find that fascinating. You know what I do if you know his arcs jokes, you know?
Oh, that's good. What about motorcycles?
Nah, my brother rode motorcycles and I'm not that much into motorcycles.
Okay.
Like if you met a motorcycle mechanic, for example.
Yeah.
I'd say, are you going to work your way up to working on cars, mate? Or just... But also, I think the thing I remembered about you when I met you was that you're a music fan.
Yeah.
And you were a big... Was it Faith No More?
I love Faith No More. Yeah, big Mike Patton fan.
Big Mike Patton.
And big Ween.
Oh, love that's Ween. Right. Ween. Yeah. I love Ween.
Yeah, so...
I love Ween.
Hey, I was going to ask you, are you into the Melvins?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like their T-shirts, but I...
They're coming out in November.
Are they coming out?
Yeah.
No,
so.
I wouldn't go and see them.
Yeah.
I would go and see Ween. I've seen Ween. They toured once. I saw them.
I was overseas at the time, and I've regretted it.
Yeah.
The guy...
Gene Ween,
he runs fishing trips. He's
really?
Obsessed with fishing. Yeah.
And you can go on a fishing trip with Gene Ween?
Yeah, you can go on a fishing trip. He takes you out. Apparently, when he came to Australia, that's all he talked about was fishing.
Was fishing, because Australia's a big fishing country.
Yeah. And he just, people showed him around where good places to fish, and that's all he did.
But have you ever met a famous rock star? I've interviewed him on the radio, and I always get their songs in my head, and I start humming them in front of them. It's so, you know, like, I interview the guy from Spanner Ballet, and I'm just like, do a gold, gold. So I reckon I'd be on that boat just going with the Ween guy.
Yeah.
Boogie. Boogie.
Yeah.
Push a little daisy to make it come up.
He's like...
Dude, I hate that song.
Man, can we just push Dave O'Neill off this?
But see, Ween... a lot of people just would remember him from that one novelty song.
Yeah.
Push the little daisies and make them come up.
Yeah.
But that was so much more than that.
Yeah.
They had that great country album, which I still play.
So good, and they used all the session musicians the country. And that's the another thing I like Ween. I'm obsessed with their music. I played it non-stop for about 5 years.
Oh, really?
Before Ween.
The Mollusk?
Oh, yeah, the Mollusk.
Bring back the Mollusk.
Yeah, I even love their weird shit, Pure Guava.
Do you? Yeah, right.
They had this rule.
Yeah.
They had this rule that they'd take acid, and there was no bad ideas. So whatever they made... Whatever song they made, they had to record it. They had to fashion it into a recording sense.
Right.
But also love... Not only do I love their music, I love their stories.
They got stories.
They're amazing stories because Dean Ween's also obsessed with Santana.
Well, the band.
Yeah, like the guy, Carlos Santana.
Yeah, Carlos Santana, yeah.
Loves Santana.
Really?
It's weird. Because he's an excellent guitarist.
Gene Ween, he's crazy.
So when they were recording Quebec, which is a fantastic album, they took them ages to record it. One of them was going through a divorce.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad. And this roadie rang them up, one of their friends, and said, Carlos Santana's gear is coming through town, right?
Amplifying guitars.
Yeah, he's amplifying his guitars. All his gear is going to be, because he's on tour, and the freight is coming through this way. So they had to record a solo for Transdermal Celebration. It's a really good song.
It's a track, right?
And,
yeah.
So at night, they broke in
what?
To the place. Well, the guy did. They didn't break in. The guy let him in. and he recorded the solo on Carlos Santana's guitar. Right? And they got photos and everything. They did it in about 10 or 15 minutes. And then they got the hell out of there, and no one spoke of it for 10 years.
Wow.
And then he released it on the Facebook page. He said, you know, because a lot of people could have lost their jobs and things like that.
Yeah, but it's been a while now, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, he put it up, and it's just heaps of stories like that. They made a, there's this track you can find on the internet where, what is it, Domino's Pizza asked them to write
a song,
for pizzas. And they paid him a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
And it goes, where's the cheese at? Where's the cheese at? I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's a real weird song.
Where'd the cheese go?
I don't know. I don't know.
Where'd the cheese go?
And they hated it. Yeah. So they said, oh, okay, we're fired then. They said, no, you're not fired. We're just going to pay you more money to try and write another one.
What?
They paid him a ridiculous more money, and then they still didn't use the song.
That's like the time that me and Husey were paid good money. It's not like the time, but it's a similar story.
Yeah.
I don't want to say we're like Ween, being Husey, Gene and Dean Ween, but we got paid to do these ads for some chicken company that was South African.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, and they were popcorn chicken. It was frozen popcorn chicken, and we sat on the couch, and this guy was obviously a big fan of owls. We were doing radio together, and this guy, the creative guy, loved it. He's like, okay, so you're on the couch and you say, Husey, get us some popcorn chicken. No, Dave, you get it. And we just do this, you know, this sort of, get us some popcorn chicken, Husey. No, you get it, Dave. All right, Dave. No, you get it, Dave. Sort of like a double act. And, you know, we thought it was hilarious. And the owner of the company was South African and said, I don't get the humour. It's not going on air. But we still got paid. And they spent like days making this ad. We were sitting on this couch for days doing a popcorn. And we got paid. They never. It's never been seen.
Oh, that's
very similar to the Ween story.
So good.
If you could, we can play a song on this podcast. What song would you play? What Ween song?
Well, I'd probably play that Transdermal Celebration song. It's a really good song.
Oh, hang on, someone's phone's ringing. Is it my phone?
No, it's probably your phone.
Probably, who knows? Okay. Well, final question.
Yeah.
How could we do better next time? This is a final debrief question.
How can we do better next time?
Just in general. How can you do better, Kappa?
I reckon I've picked up a few bad habits. I say right after some things.
Oh, like, yeah, that's okay, though.
Right. And then also, you know when you deliver a joke and you go, and fucking hate that. And I do it a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd say you know a lot. I'd just like to be a bit cleaner all around.
Oh, yeah, really? It's sort of just, you have a country, very country style. So, yeah. I don't think you should, don't improve, just stay the same.
Okay. Oh, thanks, man.
Hopefully in 10 years' time, we'll still be driving home from Bendigo.
I like it, man. You've one thing I learned. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
You said you were 52. I can't believe you're 52.
Yeah, I am 52.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I started comedy when I was 24, and that's 26 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's a while ago. Yeah, I'm 52.
God.
I know.
That's amazing.
That's because I've never really worked. So,
yeah, right.
You know, you work in the fields. You're on that cotton farm, you'd age pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, my dad was.
They age quick.
My dad's old. You know, he was always a bit. He's such like, I get along with, I love him, you know what I mean? He's the best dad
ever. How old is he?
But he's 60.
That's young, mate.
65.
That's young.
And but he was old at a very young age.
Oh, okay,
like,
he looked old, yeah.
Oh, but he was just, you know, just, I think with my kids, if no matter what music they bring me or cartoons or whatever, I'll go, oh yeah, I'll give it a go. Like,
well,
oh,
that's the difference between our generations. That we would play something like Susie and the Banshees, and Dad would walk in and go, "Sounds like the bloody cat's been stepped on,"
and lose
his mind. Whereas my kids, you'll be going to Pink concerts with your daughter.
Well,
maybe we put the stop on Pink.
Yeah, I'll put the stop on Pink.
Pink, yeah. But like, for example, my daughter, she likes the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, great band.
Oh wow, that's great. I recently
got
back into them.
She also loves Taylor Swift, so you know.
Oh yeah.
But well, she's not so bad. She writes her own songs.
My little cousin, she's about 18 now, but I, you know, was around her from the age of 10, and it was great watching her music change. You know, it would be Usher or something like that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then she got into, you know, Skrillex, like techno and hip-hop, whatever.
That's good.
And I liked a bit of that. But then she started going to Michael Jackson. I'm a huge fan of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right.
And then Guns N' Roses, and then started going really into rock, you know.
Oh, interesting.
But I gave her a Motley Crue CD, and she couldn't really get into it.
It can happen. It can happen like that. You can't, you know. Ween? What about Ween?
Ween. I think I gave her La Cucaracha, and she didn't listen to it that much. She liked the first song.
Well, you've been listening to Dave O'Neill and Nick Capper on The Debrief. Got a fair bit of driving to do.
Yeah.
And Kappa, where can they find you? On Twitter?
Yeah, just Kappa Flapper.
Kappa Flapper.
Kappa Flapper. Carl Chandler hates that.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff Carl Chandler.
I know, he's a bit of a grumpy bastard.
Good friend of ours.
Yeah.
Great friend. Friend of the podcast. And yeah. Facebook, you're on Facebook?
Yeah, just Nick Kappa, yeah. Just find me on that and love
sure.
it. Love it. Now, first episode of my podcast is with Dave O'Neill.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it's
right.
An absolute corker. So,
God, what's it called again?
Highway to Nothing.
Highway to Nothing. You can download that as well.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, let's play some Ween. Thanks for listening to The Debrief.